Let's pray. And Lord God, we are so grateful that with you there is nothing else we need. There are so many things we want and there's things that we have to have to keep us alive, but you are our sustainer. You are the one that keeps our lives life. You're the one who pours out your goodness into all that we are. And without you, we can still have enough of life to know we're alive. We pray, Lord, that we might not only sing that, but live that out as we live each day here on earth. And we pray, Lord, as we turn our hearts to you, as we understand more about you through your word this evening, that you might open our eyes to your truth, that you might help us to understand more about you and more about how we can live for you. We thank you for your goodness and your love that you pour into our lives. And we ask this in your holy and mighty name. Amen. 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 Please grab your seats. All right. Well, tonight we're starting on the second week of our series looking at shape. And I know this time of year, a lot of people are looking to get into shape. A lot of people are looking at their shape, kind of thinking about how the Christmas cake and the turkey have kind of added some more shapeliness. And so as people are looking at their physical shape, we're going to be having a look at the concept of shape, but looking really internally and saying, how has God shaped me? How has God made me? And then how can that shape then be used for His glory? How can who we uniquely are be, and who we've been crafted to be able to be grown and developed so that we can be the very best we could possibly be for God? And so last week we looked at the S in shape, and that was for spiritual gifts, and we looked at how God has uniquely gifted each of us, and as a body of believers, we need each of us to be displaying each of the gifts. Today we're going to be looking at the H, which is our hearts. Next week we're going to be looking at the abilities that each of us have been given and how we can use them for God. The P is for personality, and the E is for experiences that we have in life, and that's going to be coupled together in a few weeks' time. So as we look at our shape, the ideal is that we'll grow in the areas of our strength. And as we grow in those unique areas of strength, then we'll be able to serve God and worship Him the very best we can in our lives. So today we're going to be looking at hearts. And if you look through the Bible, there are a number of places where it speaks about heart. In the New Testament, there's about 300 times where this word heart comes out. And the original language of Greek that the New Testament was mainly written in, this word heart is the word cardia. And so that's where we get the word cardiac arrest. So if your heart stops, it's a cardiac arrest. And to get it going again, you need cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR. And they pump your heart, and so it gets it going. So we get cardio has something to do with hearts. If you go to the gym, you might do a cardio class to get your heart pumping really well. So the word cardio means the physical pumping, a heart within us. But also it means something else. And as you look through the Bible, very few times it actually is really referring to that heart, that pump within us. Most of the time it's referring to something different. And in the Old Testament, about 550 times we have this word in the Hebrew, labe, which is speaking about our hearts. But again, it's not speaking about the internal organ, it's speaking about something different. And so when we look at the Bible and we go through and systematically kind of do a word search on the word heart, and we go through each of the passages, well, I'd encourage you, if you do that, make sure you've got a lot of time on your hands, because 850 verses, that's a lot to be going through. And man, you get pretty tired by the end of it. It's exhausting. But as you read through, you get these different themes that come up about the heart. And I just wanted to read a number of verses just to help us to start thinking along the lines of what God is speaking about when He speaks about our hearts. So the first passage is in Deuteronomy, and it says, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart. The second one is, why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? So you can harden your heart. The third is from Psalms, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind. From Psalms again, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. The Proverbs tell us, as water reflects the face, so a man's heart reflects the man. In Jeremiah, it says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Ezekiel says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I'll remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. And Jesus says in the book of Matthew, blessed are the poor, are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In Luke, Jesus is recorded to say, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In John, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. In the book of Acts, we hear the Lord open her heart to respond to Paul's message. In Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. In Ephesians, we hear, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And in Thessalonians, may he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy. And finally, in 1 Peter, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. So we see this word heart being used in many different ways, and we find a lot of different things about it. And in looking at this broader kind of word search, it's great because it really helps you to be able to narrow down and to see that this word heart is something incredibly important. Actually, really, when you look through the Bible's about God's interaction with people. And God's desire is that he would engage with us and that we would give our hearts to him. So we're close to him. So primarily, as we look at this idea of the heart, really the Bible's teaching is that our primary response to God is that we would give him our hearts. The heart being that center of our being, that core of who we are. Physically, because it is the thing that pumps blood around our body, we need our hearts. But spiritually, emotionally as well. The heart is this idea that is the core of who we are. And so the Bible speaks about us needing to give our hearts to God and connect our beings, the central core of who we are, with God. And so first and foremostly, as we look at our hearts, we need to put God in his rightful place and priority in our lives so that he might take the first spot and our hearts might be inclined, turned, focused on him. So that's kind of the overriding thing that we need to start with, that our hearts need to be focused on God. And my hope is that most of us would have already done that, but if that's not your experience, I'd love to speak with you maybe after the service or through this week, and we can speak about how you can have a heart that is given to God and focused on him. So that's the primary, but when that's in the rightful place, when God is in the right place and our hearts have been given to him, when we put him as first in our lives, then what is it that's after that? Or kind of through that? We live our lives through that experience of God being central in our lives. What's the next thing that we have a heart for? Because as much as we desire we have a heart for God, that what are the other things that really get our blood boiling, you know, that are the focus of our lives? What have we given our hearts to that maybe when we speak with people, that's the subject that keeps coming up, that we're passionate about? Or what do our friends often talk about? Because oftentimes our friends and us will have a similar heart for things, and that's why they're our friends, because we share some common things in mind. What are the things that maybe we post up on Facebook, or we email on, we forward on, that someone sent to us? What reveals some of our hearts is what we share and what we tell others about. Because we're excited about those things. They kind of drive us. What are the things that we would give, and this is probably a big indicator, what would we give our money to? What are the things financially we shell out for without kind of being really, you know, there are some things in our life that we're like, oh, I don't really want to pay for this, but I have to. So, you know, the petrol price kind of goes up and we're like, I hate having to pay more, but I know I have to. And very few people, I'm sure, have a heart for petrol. But you know, there are other things in our lives where we see it and it's like, oh, man, I just want that. I've got enough money, I'm just going to buy it. Because we have a heart for that. We're predisposed towards it. So I want you to start thinking through, what are those things that I know are central in my life after God, but that are important to me, that I know my heart really beats for, that I'm passionate about? What is it that really drives me? And I've been listening to an audio book this last couple of weeks by a guy called Seth Godin, and he's speaking about marketing. And one of the things that he says is most important to marketers these days is to recognize that you're not actually going to go for everyone. You can't aim for everyone. It's just impossible. So what you really need to do with your product is aim for a small group of people that are already predisposed towards the story that you're going to tell. And so how he explains it is that we all have a world view. We all have a view that we look at the world through, like a pair of glasses, a lens that we use to see things in the world. And so when we are given, when we're marketed a story, then some things we're going to resonate with and we're going to be drawn towards, and other things we're going to push away. We're not going to be interested. And so for a product that's fairly mundane, everyone has to use, just imagine like toilet paper. Like you go to the shops, and if you go to Coles or Woolies, there's like tons of different types of toilet paper there, right? Pretty much it's all the same. Pretty much most of it is, you know, sure they're 2-ply and 3-ply, but most of it these days, it's all the same stuff. So how do you differentiate yourself in that market? How do you stand out? Well, you have an advert with a little puppy running around, kicking a toilet roll around the house, and everyone goes, oh, that's so cute. I love that. And so that means that some people, a group of people who love puppies, are going to associate that with the toilet paper, and they're going to go. And that's going to win because everyone, they're all pretty similar. They're all pretty much the same. So that's going to win because you love puppies. So that's your story. You love that. You have a heart. Or it might be the price is pretty much it for you, pretty much it for me. And, you know, we'll want some comfort, but, you know, price might be your thing. So you just look along. And so your product is the cheapest, then you'll go for that one. Or it might be that you have a more of a social conscience. And there's a group of people actually within our church that get toilet paper called Who Gives a Crap. And that toilet paper is actually stuff that any profits from the sale of this toilet paper then goes to build toilets in third world villages. And so there's a social concern mapped around this toilet paper company, this mundane kind of item that we all use, that people go, wow, okay, well, I want to support that. It's a good thing. And so people go out of their way to buy this type of toilet paper. Or it might be you have an environmental kind of bent. And so when you see, you know, recycled toilet paper, you kind of think, oh, that sounds really gross. I don't know how they'd go about doing that. But if you get over that hurdle, you think, oh, it's probably just paper they're recycling or something like that. That, you know, that you look at that in the environmental side and go, oh, that's the kind of paper that I want to be using. So there's a whole bunch of different things on a fairly mundane kind of item that marketers kind of see potential groups of people who are more predisposed to a certain kind of story being told to them. And they'll go for that. And so we need to realize, right, well, if that's the case with marketing and toilet paper, there are going to be things that we are more predisposed to, that we are predisposed to have a heart towards. And sometimes those things are good things. And sometimes we'll just believe a story that's told to us because we've heard it before and we've gone down that path before. But whatever it is, we need to see, okay, well, some of those things in us, some of the hearts that we've had through our lives will come out in our buying choices, in the things that we get, and the things that we give our time to. For Kirsten and I know when we stopped doing ministry was actually the time we found our heart. And I don't want to encourage you too much to stop doing ministry if you're involved in doing things. But we went overseas to do a working holiday for a few years. And on the way, we traveled for a couple of months. And we found ourselves going through the Rocky Mountains in Canada. And we're talking about, oh, you know, miss my family and miss our friends. But we really miss being involved in ministry. And for us, it was a grade 8-9 youth group. And we had some great memories with a bunch of young people. And so we were looking at that and going, oh, we really miss it. We have a heart towards that. We developed that heart, actually, over a number of years of being involved in things, and we've been privileged to be able to be involved in some great stories of young people's lives, coming to faith, getting to know who Jesus is, and helping them to grow. And so that was something we reflected back on, and when we got to England, we jumped in and were involved in youth ministry. And so that, for us, became our heart. And I've learned over years that for me it was definitely being involved in youth ministry. It was great. But then my heart's actually grown to see, you know, I just love seeing people develop. That's why I bang on about, you know, read your Bible. I know that's going to help you to develop. So I invest my time into making sure that you're resourced for that. And you know, God changed my heart from just young people to loving old people too. That, you know, that was a big thing for God to do that, because, you know, I didn't like you mainly. But you know, like, God grows apart. And I think it's important for us to understand that our hearts actually can grow. That this small thing that He may have given you as being predisposed to something that you might think at the start, oh yeah, that sounds good, I like doing that, I'm interested. But you can grow that and you can develop that into something more if you give yourself to it. If you spend time doing it and put energy and effort into it, if you read about it, if you get alongside of other people who are also involved in it and rub shoulders with them, you'll find that you can develop a heart for something. This is what I tell people when they come and do pre-marriage counseling with me. I explain to them that when they're on this process of marriage, you know, love isn't, you know, people say that you fall in love. It's like, you trip, someone trips you, probably the lady trips the guy. Oh, well, fell in love. But it's not just falling out in love, because that means you can fall out of love. But love is actually a choice that we make. We make it every day to choose what we love. And so in the same way as we can choose to love a partner, we also will choose to love those things that we have a heart for, that we keep investing our time into it. Just like a good marriage comes through great investment, so too will as we grow a heart for something, as we invest in it, give more time to it, understand it more, our hearts will grow in it. So there are a bunch of different things that we can look at and have a heart for. But when you roll it back, we need to be able to grow those hearts for things over years and see it as something that God can use to be able to bring glory to Himself or to advance His kingdom. But there are a couple of things, and you probably notice them going through this list of Bible passages, that when you hear it, they were negative things about the heart. There are a couple of things I just want to bring to you tonight to help you to see that there are some troubles that can happen in our heart too. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, as has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." So there is in us a potential for our hearts to be hard. One of the other Bible verses spoke about, God, couldn't you change our hearts of stone to a heart of flesh? And Pharaoh's heart was hardened towards Moses' words. And so we can have a heart that grows hard. And that passage in Hebrews speaks about there being a thing that encourages our heart or makes our heart hard, which is sin. If we allow sin to start taking over into our life, then our hearts can become hard. They can become hard to the voice of God speaking to us. Which is an interesting thing, isn't it? That we, as tiny human beings, that God, great, mighty, awesome, incredible, has given us free will so that we can actually do things that are offensive to Him, that are against His will, and that can harden our hearts to His voice in our life. Isn't that amazing that God would make us to have the ability to harden ourselves from His voice? But it's real, it's true. We've probably seen it in people's lives around us, that maybe they at one point were soft towards God, but then grew to ignore His voice and ignore anyone's voice sharing about Him in their lives. I have a friend of mine. Her brother went through a period that he was so passionate about God that he wanted to go and evangelize and share his faith with anyone and everyone. But he got to a point of making a bit of a plan of how he would go about sharing his faith. And he was probably about 22, 23 at this point in time. And he saw a lot of his mates going to nightclubs. So he thought to himself, right, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to evangelize people in nightclubs, because not a lot of Christians doing this. This is where I need to be. And he justified it. You know, Jesus went to places where the sinners were, the non-Christians were. So he looked and said, well, that's where I need to go. You know, King David, he was known to dance, and there's a lot of dancing in nightclubs, so, you know, I'll just glorify God with my dancing. And everyone's drinking there, and so, you know, Jesus changed water into wine, so he obviously is okay with me drinking. So he justified it and went in and made sure that he would go and share his faith in that place. Well, you can guess what happened. You know, as the weeks and the months went by, his evangelism kind of lost its impetus, its strength, and having one or two drinks just to get to know people then turned into three or four, and soon he was drinking so much that he couldn't get up for church on Sundays. He was drinking so much that his witness was watered down. He met some people, you know, he thought, oh, I have to share myself, women and men, I have to make sure I meet everyone, and he got into relationships with these women for evangelistic purposes, of course, at first. But then it wasn't him that brought them up, it was them that brought him down. And he got into these short-term relationships, one-night stands, and slowly, he walked away from his relationship with God. And people were speaking to him about what he was doing. They were saying to him, man, I don't think you're on the right path. I think you need to step out. You're not strong enough to be in this environment. And he was hard to their comments. He said, no, this is what I must do. You know, sure, I'm not having any responses anymore, but I've got to keep, this is my lifestyle now. This is where I'm at. And it took months and months, even years for him, but he finally did come back and he heard that voice of God in his life and he changed his ways back. But it was so easy, and I use that as an example to say, it's so easy to just take steps that lead us away from God. And when we're on that journey, it's so easy to justify why we're doing what we're doing and even put a Christian spin on it to say, no, I'm doing this because I want to evangelize, I want to share my faith, until finally you get to this point that you're so far away from who you once were and always wanted to be that you recognize, wow, those little steps have meant that I've hardened my heart to God. And I'm not where I always wanted to be. And so our hearts can be hardened towards God. We need to be mindful of that. The other negative thing that we need to be mindful of is that our hearts can also get downheartened. We can also get incredibly... we can lose heart, is how the Bible would say. We could get to this point of just losing that passion that we once had. This last week, having Kathleen's funeral here is something that I know, you know, for Monty and many of the youth group leaders would say that was extremely disheartening. That you can lose heart when you see this young, vibrant girl who Monty had said to her, man, I can see you being a youth group leader one day. He saw great potential. I don't know, the youth group leaders who knew her also saw some great potential in her. But then to see that dash as she took her own life, it's so easy to be able to lose heart. To kind of go, God, what were you doing in this situation? Why did you allow that to happen? To see how much work you've done, but then it all kind of come unraveled and think, man, what was all that for? In the book of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. But outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So easy to lose heart, but Paul, when he's writing to the church in Corinth, he says, well, don't lose heart. And why this is so important not to lose heart is because oftentimes losing heart comes out of a heart that not only, you know, it desires to see results, but it's really a heart that says, well, the results are up to me to do. But we need to flip that around and see that actually what God wants out of our hearts is that our hearts are faithful to him. That we're faithfully doing what he's called us to do. That as he puts things on our hearts, we go and do it to the very best of our ability. But the results out of that, the fruit that comes, is up to God to bring. He's the one that brings the increase. He's the one that changes someone else's heart. We can't change someone else's heart. We can do the very best. We can be faithful. We can make sure that we're giving the very best message we possibly can. But But for someone's heart to change, that fruit comes as a result of the Holy Spirit's work in their life and them responding to that and them softening their hearts for God to do His work. Because it was up to us. If we were able to claim the credit for that, then that changes us, right? Then we suddenly become God. So instead, we need to look at it and say, and not lose heart by seeing, actually, no, I'm going to be faithful in the things that I do and make sure that I do them to the best of my ability. And when they fail, well, I've given it to God. The results, the fruit, that's in God's hands. So don't lose heart. And also remember, as that verse said, we're being renewed day by day. The pot that we have of God's presence in our lives isn't one that gets exhausted if we use it all, but instead it's being renewed as we live out our lives. Actually, the more we use of God's Spirit into other people's lives, the more we're filled to overflowing so that we need to make sure we do that, that we do give of God's Spirit into other people's lives. So make sure you don't lose heart. Finally, to finish, I guess the question that really we need to come back to is, what is it that you have a heart for? Where is it that you feel as though you've been pulled by God to have an interest in certain things? Now for you, that might be any number of things. Or you might be sitting here thinking, actually, I don't know what I have a heart for. So I'll just throw a few things out there. In Australia, each year, thousands of unborn babies are aborted. Are taken away, are killed before they can be born. That may be something that you would want to give your heart to. Or it might be that there are injustices that you see around you that you need to make sure on a local, a state, or a national government kind of position you want to get on board with. It might be that in schools they're removing in big chunks religious education, and that's happened already in Victoria, and there's plans to change chaplaincy. There might be some things politically that you feel you have a heart to get involved in. It might be that refugees in our country or around the world, there might be something in that your heart beats for that really interests you, and you look at it and you say, I've got to change that. It might be maternal health. It might be food. It might be the children that die from malnutrition. It might be wars or poverty. It could be prostitution or the sex trafficking trade. It could be the internally displaced people that we support in Myanmar that you have a heart for, that you say, no, that's what I need to give my life to explain, to understand more, and to devote myself to helping. It could be local issues like elderly people who don't have people to love them anymore, or people with disabilities that you need to give hope to. It could be that single mum that you know next door, or someone who suffered from domestic violence. Whatever it is that it is, it's so easy to be able to look at need. There's never going to be an end to need. It's always going to be around us. It's also easy to be able to look at the need and just be so overwhelmed. It's actually called compassion fatigue, because there's just so much around that we can just get worn out looking at the options, just thinking, wow, what could I possibly do? There's just so much need. I could never do anything to make a difference, to solve any problems. So my encouragement really is to find one thing, because it's impossible to change everything. So find one thing that you have a heart for. Test out and see what it is that you might like to be involved in. Maybe there's a ministry at church you just want to try out for a term or serve in for a while, and see if that is something that resonates with your heart, if there's an interest there. Or it might be something in the community that you can get involved in that you give yourself to. But know that what you invest your time and your energy in will also help to grow your heart. So may I finish by encouraging you, don't lose heart. Make sure that you recognize that the fruitfulness that will come out is all God's. And also, don't harden your hearts. If there's a sense in you that I've been serving, I've done that before, and I'm going to give that away, it's someone else's turn. Well, that's a sign of a hard heart. Instead, seek to find ways to soften your heart, to allow God to speak and refresh. It might be time for a different season. That's great. But it doesn't mean we ever stop serving and giving of ourselves to glorify God. Because remember, as we said at the start, our heart is always going to burn for something. And the priority, the first thing needs to be that God's in His rightful place. And when he's there, then we need to look and see, well, what else can I do for you? What can I do, God, that will glorify you? Where can my heart do something worthwhile that will see you lifted up? Because there's enough people in our world doing worthless things. There's enough people in our world that are focused on their own lives and their own things. And after they die in 30 or 50 years, no one's going to remember who they were. So may we think to do things that might last for eternity. May we seek out to see where our hearts really resonate, really kind of get excited, where our interests are, that we might be able to grow on that, to be able to glorify God, but also to be able to help others so that there's things that are worthwhile that we do, so that when we do them, we're not only benefiting us, but we're benefiting the world that we live around. And as we do these things, then people are going to look to our lives and say, well, why would you care for them? Why would you go out of your way and give your time and your energy and effort for someone who's not going to give it back? And then we'll earn the right to be able to speak into other people's lives about the faith that we have, about the God that we love, and we'll be able to glorify him not only through the lives that we're living, but through the words that we can speak in giving him praise. Let's pray. Look, God, I pray that might be our example, that we might be able to find those things that you put on our hearts to be passionate about. I pray, Lord, that you might be speaking into each of our lives this evening, that as we stop and give you time, as we stop and allow your Spirit to speak into our hearts, that you might bring to our minds those things that we're passionate about. We thank you for those general things, Lord, that we're passionate about. We're passionate about you and the cross, the forgiveness you give and the grace that you pour into our lives. We're passionate about our families, our children, our spouses, our friends. But help us to see what else we can give our lives to so that we can glorify you. Help us to be wise in these things, so that as we do them, we listen to your voice and we listen to the voice of others. Transform us into your likeness, Lord, and help us to find our shape in you so that we can live exactly the lives that you've called us to live. We ask this, Lord God, in your holy and mighty and precious name. Amen.